In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, Amen. We're facing a challenge now where, statistically, we are the most connected we have ever been in history, because you can be online with millions of people at the same time. You will have hundreds or thousands of friends or followers or people who like what you say or who follow what you do on social media. So we have this incredible network. But we are also the most isolated, because we do all this from the confines of our own homes, focusing on our own small media sources, apparatus that is made to make us interact with people and communicate, is actually leading us to become more isolated. And I want you to look around this weekend. We're on the campus, so I want you to look at people who are walking around. Inevitably, they will have headphones in, plugged into their music devices, whatever that might be, living in their own world, blocking out everything around them. Or they'll be walking down the road on their phones, looking down and texting at the same time. We live in a world from which we are totally isolated sometimes. And that concerns me. It concerns me because when God created us, He created us in His image and likeness, and that is to love all and to be with all. He created us in His image and likeness so that we can share our lives with Him and with others. And then we are spoken of as the body of Christ, because we all have a role. Now, generally, when we speak about the body of Christ, it means we have a role for the world. You know, the hand works, the foot works, the head, all of that, which is great. But don't forget that as the body of Christ, we have a role in the lives of each other. My legs are holding me up now. My skeleton is giving me posture. My muscles are allowing me to move. My nerves are allowing me to communicate with you. So the body not only serves outwardly, but serves itself. And so when we were created as the image and likeness of God, as members of His body, then we are there to work with Him for the world, but more so, first and foremost, as a first step for each other, to have that presence in each other's lives. Social media is, I feel, a great tool. As I just said, I'm happy for a hashtag to go out with these talks. Why? Because I know that the people who follow me anywhere in the world will be able to get them. People who follow you will be able to get them. So whereas I may be speaking to, you know, this full room here, we can be addressing thousands, if not tens of thousands, of people outside of this room. So it works well pastorally. It even works well sometimes to get the word out, to give warnings, to allow people a time to act or react if something is happening. In Romans 14:19, we are reminded, therefore, let us pursue all things which make for peace, and the things by which one may edify another. Let me repeat that. Therefore, let us pursue all things which make for peace, and the things by which one may edify the other. There are lots of things out there that we can pursue. And as we have seen over these last months and years, not everything that is pursued leads to peace. We've got so much turmoil in the world. Look at the Middle East, look at Iraq, look at Syria, look at Egypt a couple of years ago, look at Nigeria, look at the Far East. There are many things people can pursue at an individual or a social or a global level even that may be very destructive. So what we are told to do here is pursue all things which make for peace, and also pursue the things by which one, I, can edify the other, you. It's not enough for me to say, this is my life, I'll do what I want, and that's it. It's not just my life. It would be my life if I lived on a desert island on my own without impact on a single other person. That would be my life. But my life is well and truly intertwined with the lives of others. I can't just isolate myself. I can't just say, you know what? What I do is totally up to me, because it's not. It impacts others. It impacts others. And so we're not just called to do the right things by ourselves. We are called to pursue only the things by which I may edify others. So when we come to the use of social media, do I do things which edify others? The messages I send out, the words I use, the expressions I use, the attacks I can initiate on other people, the attacks that I can initiate on organizations or groups or thoughts I don't agree with. Now, I am all for open, transparent conversation, but not if it's not edifying. Not if it doesn't make me, and more importantly, others, better people. Because we need to all be edified. And it's a give and take. So if everything I do edifies you, everything you do edifies me and everyone else here, then we're all working for each other. We're all helping and supporting each other. And that's important. Social media can be a great tool, as I said, but can also be horribly, horribly destructive. I'm sure you've all seen tragic stories of people who have taken their own lives because they were bullied over social media. Now, of course it's wrong. But it being wrong doesn't stop it having impacted that person or that person's family or friends or communities and so on. So yes, I'm not saying people should take their own lives, because you know what? You need to have tough skin these days as well. You need to be able to deal with this stuff. You need to be able to desensitize yourself. You know what? Someone says something about you on Facebook or in a Twitter feed. So what? Be aware that the amount of traffic and chatter that goes backwards and forwards, that comment would have moved well and truly down the line within 30 seconds, and you're still brewing over it. It's become last week's news already, unless we propagate it, unless we inflame it, unless we continue to pursue it. So we need to have tougher skin, thicker skin. We need to be able to deal with this and put it into perspective. Yes, of course it's horrible for someone to speak to me or about me at that level, but it's not the be-all and end-all of anything. People at the end of the day will judge me by my integrity in what I do, will judge me by how I live my life. But yes, there is that element of bullying. Inappropriate pictures and videos that are put up. I've made this point over the last few months, and please bear with me. What's one of the busiest roads around here? Busiest highways? 80? 80, okay. So, imagine there is a huge billboard on this road. A huge billboard with flashing lights, and people can see it. So, people who drive up and down this road, you're probably talking about tens of thousands of people a day, right? If you are not willing to put up the pictures of last night's party on that billboard, don't put them on the internet. Because while tens of thousands of people may see it on that billboard, millions are going to see it on the internet, and you cannot protect anything you put up there. You are compromising yourself. How many people have thought it absolutely brilliant? It's a great idea to put themselves, pictures of themselves up when they're in a compromising situation or doing something really hilarious last night that they can't remember this morning. How many people? And then you wake up to the horror of, oh no, people are judging me wrong. No, they're not judging you wrong, they're judging you on the image that you portrayed. People can't look into your soul if they don't know you. People judge on the appearance you present. And so we seem to become totally oblivious to the idea that when I put something up on social media, an image or a video or an account or a comment, I can't take it back. It can't be retracted. And it becomes public property. And you know that. Social media platforms, once you put an image up, they own that image. You have no control over it anymore. So that's also very destructive. And then the language we use. It's an abusive expression because we hide behind a keyboard. We hide behind the screen. We can become extremely aggressive because we think, I don't need to deal with the repercussions. You don't have to deal with the face of the person in front of you when you say a hurtful word about them. You don't need to deal with the look of disappointment or hurt when you say something that is ungracious or unkind or even attacking. You don't have to deal with your own sense of self when you start flirting online. You don't need to be embarrassed because you don't look the other person in the eye. You will say things that you wouldn't otherwise say because you're protected behind this screen and behind this keyboard, behind this small device. But actually, it's still you communicating. 1 Peter 2:16 reminds us that we should, as free, not use the liberty we have as a cloak for vice. It says this, as free, yet not using liberty as a cloak for vice, but as bondservants of God. Don't use the freedom we have as a means of evil. The fact that we have a freedom of communication and expression, the fact that we have a freedom of talking to people from a remote situation, don't use that as a means of evil. If you can't or wouldn't or may not do it face to face, don't do it. If you wouldn't compromise yourself in a certain way face to face when dealing with people, then don't compromise yourself electronically, because it's just the same. We are abusing that freedom in a way that compromises us as bondservants of God as well. Compromises us as stewards of God. First Corinthians 10:23. All things are lawful to me, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful for me, but not all things are edifying. Social media is lawful, as long as you use it within certain parameters. It is lawful. But is it appropriate? Is my use of it appropriate? Am I able to utilize it, again, as we read earlier, to edify others? You know what? Forget about edifying others. Am I able to use it without attacking others or harming others? Because if the answer is no, then don't use it. You know what? Just because something is there doesn't mean you have to use it. I'm not saying don't, but I'm saying if using social media, using these forms of communication, if they are going to compromise you or lead you to compromise others, then don't use them, or use them very sparingly, or use them in a way that actually ends up presenting God in the lives of others. Don't use it in a way that takes them away, or that compromises you, or that makes you less godly. One of the things that the challenges that social media presents, unfortunately, is a sense of comparison. Everyone is so preoccupied with how many people like them. When you post something, how many likes do you get? How many likes did you get? How many times did it get shared? Right? You know, I got 10 likes. I got 500. Great. We're so preoccupied. Don't forget, these likes are completely non-committal. These likes are completely conditional. They may like what you just said, not necessarily like you. And they won't end up liking what you say in 5 minutes. So either you continue to do what people like, and you lose yourself in the process, and you know, this one life theme that we're talking about this weekend, that goes out the window. Because I'm going to live numerous lives. For this group, I'll be this person, and this group, I'll be this person, and this group, I'll be that person. And you can see that happening. The only problem with social media is your worlds collide. And those groups end up coming together. Once upon a time, you could be one person at church, one person at home, one person at school or at work, one person socially. And no one would be the wiser, because you could keep your social group separate. It was a challenge. It would have been a huge challenge to play this Jekyll and Hyde and Jekyll and role all the time, being different people in different situations. But now, your friends are friends. And their friends are friends of someone else's friends. And so on and so forth. So whatever you do is no longer hidden. So when we look at this verse, and we are told to only do things that edify, we find ourselves falling short. And then we start to compare. Likes. How many followers do you have? How many of you have received messages that say, please follow me so I can get up to 5? I'm pretty sad. It wasn't 5, it was 6. You know, we're all so preoccupied with this, how many people follow us, and how many people are looking at us, and how many people listening to us, and how many people accept us. 2 Corinthians 10:12. For we dare not class ourselves to compare ourselves with those who commend themselves. Okay, let's say this. We don't want to class ourselves with those who pat themselves on the back, who commend themselves. But they, measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves, are not wise. Does that make any sense to you? I'm not surprised. Okay, let's see this. This is exactly the model of social media. The model is, if you look at the middle section of that, it is a group of themselves comparing themselves by themselves, right? So you have a small group that compares itself internally. How many followers do you have? How many likes do you have? How many people do you have? And that suddenly becomes their world. That very small circle becomes their world. What St. Paul says here is, we don't dare compare ourselves with them because they're in their own world. We are out here. The world is a much bigger place. The world is huge. Interactions and relationships are huge. But if you look at your own groups, your social network groups, how many times do you get the proverbial storm in a teacup? It's a storm. There's an expression that says it's a storm in a teacup. So it's a storm, but it's in a very small place. Outside of it, it doesn't exist. Now, that doesn't help if you're inside the teacup. Because if you're inside the teacup, that is your world. So if there's a storm, no matter how small, and you are within that world, then your world is turned upside down. But our world is much greater. Don't confine yourselves to that expression as a world. It's not. This is not our world. First of all, this whole world is not our world because we are traveling through it. Secondly, this realm of social media becomes a world in and of itself, and it consumes us completely. We need to step out of it so we can get a firm view of where we are. But many people live their lives completely within this social media. I'm sure you've heard of many, many horrible situations where people have lost themselves in social media. I know someone who, through an addiction, started an online relationship within a virtual world. It wasn't even a real relationship. This person had taken on a virtual persona, had started a relationship online, almost lost her family, and had to go into mental care to deal with this. Now, it sounds surreal, but I've dealt with it personally. People lose themselves with these virtual worlds because while they are called virtual worlds, for the person, it becomes real. And we lose sight of the real world. We lose sight of the real suffering around us. How many of us, and I want you to ask this question of yourselves, how many of you in the past 24 hours have spent more time on social media and idle chatter than you have spent looking at the plight of people in Iraq and Syria, people in Nigeria, people around the world? That's the real world. That's where we belong. That's where we make a difference. That's where our voice is powerful. How many of us have spent more time on social media in idle chatter and not even edifying, on damaging conversations and damaging interactions than we have spent on our times with God, opening our Bibles and praying in a time of quiet and fellowship? How many of us? I would say the responses within this group would be absolutely disturbing. And that's because you are not unlike any other group. Because the whole tendency in our culture now is very disturbing. The whole tendency is to consume ourselves and others within this turmoil of this storm in this teacup and forget that there's a world around us out there that needs our interaction, needs our presence, needs our attention, needs our prayers. Forget Syria, forget Iraq, forget Nigeria, your own homes. How many challenges are there in your homes and your families that you avoid just by being on social media because you create your own world? It's difficult. It's difficult, but we, in the Epistle to the Ephesians chapter 5:1, are called to be imitators of God as dear children. imitators of God as dear children. How many of us would be imitators of God? Because we are dear children to Him. He loves us dearly. But how many of us would live as imitators of God? First Galatians 1:10 reads, "For do I now persuade men or God? Do I seek to please men? For if I still pleased men, I would not be a bondservant of Christ." Who am I trying to please through this whole social media element? Am I actually trying to make a point and make a statement and express myself? Or am I seeking the acceptance of others? And as I said, these are not my words. This is all scripture. This was written almost 2,000 years ago. Humanity hasn't changed. Whether it was a long parchment that was rolled and sent by horse to someone to be read, or what you send from your mobile phone today, the same applies. Don't just try to please others. And social media pushes us well and truly in that direction. 1 Peter 3:4. "Let it be that the hidden person of the heart, with the incorruptible beauty of the gentle and quiet spirit, which is very precious in the sight of God, be visible." We can be two things. We can either be this human social animal who wants recognition, approval, and acceptance all the time, or we can be this hidden person of the heart, that's who we are, with incorruptible beauty given to us by God, a gentle and quiet spirit granted by Him, and precious in the sight of God. Now, let's make this deal together. Are you with me? Okay, let's make this deal together. If we can communicate in any way in the world, by text, by message, on Twitter, on Facebook, on any other platform you use, anything, and you can be the hidden person of the heart with the incorruptible beauty and the gentle and quiet spirit who is precious in the sight of God, then go for it. Do whatever you want. Because this is the test. If we can be that person, then we can do whatever we want. God doesn't limit us. God doesn't limit our freedom. God gives us complete freedom with our lives. And it's up to us to make choices. But let the choices be within this context, because I don't want, after God's efforts with me and with you in creating us and then coming to save us after we had fallen, all of those efforts, we don't want all of those efforts to suddenly fall away because we're not being His image. Of course, that causes us to do one thing. To look at the freedom we live. God gives us that freedom. And He gives it to us absolutely willingly. God wants us to be free, otherwise He wouldn't have created us free. Right? 1 Corinthians 8:9. And I want you to memorize this verse. "Beware lest somehow this liberty of yours becomes a stumbling block for those who are weak." Beware that somehow this liberty of yours becomes a stumbling block for those who are weak. Your liberty is not absolute. Your liberty is in the context of how we deal with others. Just as even your liberty within this world is not absolute. You can't decide to run red lights. You can't decide to speed however much you want. You can't decide to steal from people, take what is not yours, because your liberty is linked to the liberty and safety of others. And it's only when we see things like what we're seeing in Iraq at the moment, where people think that their liberty can be at the cost of others, where they can tell people it's our way, or get out, or we're going to kill you, or it's in places, even in schoolyards, or virtually, when there is this sense of bullying, of you either follow my rules, or I'm going to cause you harm, that doesn't work. That's illegal. It's wrong. It's not how God created us. And so what we need to do is make sure that we use the liberty we have properly. Don't forget where this all started. Genesis 1:27. So God created man in his image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. This was produced as a telephone. It can't suddenly become a car. Right? Things exist for the purpose they were produced. Likewise, we were created in the image and likeness of God. And so therefore we cannot exist not being the image and likeness of God. We cannot exist being something else, because it's not who we are, not how we're created, not what we're made for. Whether personally, whether we're speaking face to face as we are now, or virtually through screens and monitors and keyboards and devices, we are the image and likeness of God. And that's the life we must live. There's a reflection by one of the monastic writers, Saint Siloam, who says, love for that which is earthly makes the soul empty. And then there she is sad and grows wild, does not want to pray to God. So loving just what is earthly, whether it's recognition, popularity, communications, life, loving just that makes the soul empty. And when the soul becomes empty, it's sad, it grows wild, and does not want to pray to God. Which is exactly how we feel, right? When we start to live a sinful life, we just go wild. We don't want to face God, sometimes out of a sense of embarrassment, sometimes out of a sense of lack of entitlement, and sometimes just because we feel that we don't want to change what we're doing. And if we engage with him, we'll have to change. So, we should not just pursue what is of this world, because it'll empty us out. If we're just going to use social media in all its forms, and forget that we are spiritual beings who must set aside a time of prayer, a time of reflection, a time with God, a personal time with one another, personally, face to face, as well, then we will also become empty. Because we are only nourished by what God gives us. You can have as many likes as you want, as many followers as you want. You can become as popular as you desire. But at the end of the day, we are empty without God. So, what should you do with social media? I can't tell you. I can't tell you how to use your phones or your mobiles. I can't tell you how to use your computers or your devices. The only message I'll give you is this. Philippians 2:15. Whatever you do, do it so that you may become blameless and harmless children of God, without fault, in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, amongst whom you shine as lights in the world. What this verse tells us is the world around us is crooked and perverse. That's the reality of it. Not all of it, but the negative elements. It is crooked and it is perverse. What you need to do is become blameless as you go through it. Don't become crooked and perverse with it. Don't use these elements. Don't change this one life you're living. Don't compromise. Because once you become part of the darkness, then you're part of the darkness. But we are called, as the verse goes on to say, we are called to shine as lights in that darkness. In the midst of a lot of negativity, in the midst of a lot of challenge, a lot of sin, we're called to be lights. Lights in our homes, lights in our churches, lights in our communities, lights in the world. Living one life as the image and likeness of God, created to be lights in the world, not betraying what He has given us, and not compromising the love that He has loved us with. Ladies and gentlemen, the decision is yours. Of course, you are going to use social media. I use social media. But I use it in a measured way. I use it in what I think is an edifying way. You need to find out what the best use for you is, that it become productive and edifying, that it's fun, you communicate with your friends, but don't lose the real communication with people. Not just profiles. We deal with profiles and profile pictures, but we don't deal with people, with emotions, with feelings, with challenges. Become blameless, harmless children of God, without fault, in the midst of a crooked and perverse world, among whom you shine as lights in that world. Glory be to God forever.